Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. It's a beautiful day here in North Carolina. A little cold, but the sun is shining and the days are getting longer and it just feels like spring is going to be here. I want to welcome everyone tonight to our show. I want to say a very special thank you to everyone who's been following us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at FMG Live, the number 2, and the letter U. And also by checking us out on Facebook and Twitter, you can find short links to our archived episode. Every episode that we've done, including our 2013 practice launch and our launch in 2014 that we've carried on over into this year, we're going on about 6 months now that we've been running. And so we've got episodes virtually every week that we have archived, a lot of great interviews with some great folks and some very inspiring words out there for you. So feel free to go online to Twitter or to Facebook so you can find those episodes. If you want to go on to blogtalkradio.com, you can find us there as well. They ask you to sign up, but there's no cost and no charge at all whatsoever for you to sign up and listen to all of our archived episodes on blogtalkradio.com. I just want to appreciate everyone who's been listening to us on the archives, and then for those of you who are joining us live, really appreciate all of our listeners. And there's someone else I want to appreciate and talk to you about for just a few minutes at the beginning of our show. There is an organization here that's local to me, and very, very dear to my heart, and that is FMG Studios and FMG Ministries. And it's ran by Eric and Melissa Nance, and they are folks who are behind the scenes. They run a production studio where Christian artists can go and record demos, record albums, any type of recording work that's needed, they can go do. And Eric and Melissa, they don't really view this as a business. They see it as a ministry and as a way to give back to the kingdom and to help build the kingdom of God. And they have recently set up, because there are costs involved in doing that, and they do charge artists, but they, when you think about how much it costs, I don't know if anyone ever really does think about the cost of making a demo tape even to take to Nashville or to send in, and for the serious musician and for the serious singer, that cost is really expensive. And Eric and Melissa do a really great job of working with, you know, artists who are unknown or who haven't been discovered yet, artists who do what they do because they believe in it. They do a great job of working with them and making costs as absolutely rock bottom low as they can. So what they have done is they're just asking for a little bit of help in their ministry, and they actually want to take that ministry and take it to another level. They want to add some video production. They want to add talk radio, which is what we're doing here now. We're able to work here through Block Talk Radio, but we want to actually get on air. And there is a way that you can support that ministry. And understand that when we talk about supporting ministries, there are some people who are into ministries and because that's all that they know how to do. And there are some people who are in ministries because God has given them a vision. And I'm going to, you can take this for what it's worth, but I will tell you that Eric and Melissa have shared their vision with me, and it is as real as it gets. their vision is so amazing. They want to be able to bring together artists of different types, all these different types of mediums, into one Christian media center where they can spread the word of God and spread the good news of the gospel through music, through television, through radio, through whatever medium they can. And, you know, I find that amazing and fascinating, and I think that is such a cause worthy of support. And I'm going to ask all of you who are listening, whether you're listening to this archive or you're listening to this live, they have and you can find on our Twitter feed and on our website, they have a GoFundMe.com account that they have set up. The website for that is going to be GoFundMe.com, and you can find them. The actual link is going to be. Let's take a look here. So I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, it's going to be GoFundMe.com, and you can find it also through social media. Just check out our Twitter feed or our Facebook page, and it'll direct link you there so that you can go online and be able to contribute to their cause. You know, $5 is the cost of a lunch. You know, if you can share that with them and maybe take your lunch one day this week to work and let that $5 go to building a ministry and to reaching people who might not otherwise be reached. We really appreciate that, and you'll be supporting such a worthy organization. So be sure to check that out. It's GoFundMe.com, and look for FMG Ministries, and you'll find a way to be able to donate online to them. Also, you can check that out through our social media on Facebook and on Twitter. So please support them. You know, tonight I wanted to get into something. We're approaching Easter Sunday. And usually on the weekend before Easter, you get one of two types of messages from pastors. You either get the Palm Sunday message where we talk about Jesus entering Jerusalem and they do all the setup for Easter, all the setup for the crucifixion and resurrection, and they get you geared up so that you come back next week for part two and you know you get the to-be-continued episode. Or they give you the Bloody Sunday message, which is where we talk about the suffering that Christ endured on the cross. And I want to do something a little different from either of those because Christ's suffering on the cross is absolutely critical. But we talk about it and, you know, we depict it in films. There's The Passion of the Christ, which is a wonderful film and just an amazingly powerful film. I recommend that to you if you haven't seen it. But at the end of the day, there is no way that any human being can ever depict in words, in film, in any medium, the suffering that Christ endured on the cross. Because it wasn't just the outward suffering that his flesh endured, where he was beaten and whipped and mocked. It was the internal suffering that he went through, carrying the burden of our sins. You see, this is something that you and I, as human beings, really can't wrap our minds around. We cannot wrap our minds around the concept of someone being able to take not just our sins, and when we say our sins, we're talking about every single sin that you have ever committed and you ever will commit. And then you multiply that, not just by the 7 billion people who are alive on earth today, but by all the people going back to his time and all the people that are going to live until he comes again. So you take all of that sin, going all the way back to Adam, every sin that has ever been committed, Christ endures on the cross. I can't even conceive of the kind of agony that would be on my soul to have to bear responsibility for all of that. So what I wanted to do was talk a little bit about the meaning of that torture and the meaning of that price that Christ paid for us. And, you know, as I, even as I sit here and I talk to you about it, any word that I can think of is insufficient to describe what Christ went through. But Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he goes through and he talks about Christ's suffering, but he talks about it in a different vein, in a little bit different light, and he uses it as an example. Because you see, the whole purpose of Christ's suffering is forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we use the term to forgive a debt in our modern society, what that means is that debt is gone. It isn't balanced by anything. If some of you are ever accountants, or if you can imagine an accountant's ledger, you have on one side what is owed, and you have on the other side what is paid. You see, in our individual ledgers, all of these sins that we've committed, and that's on what we owe. We owe for that. We do. We owe for the sinful nature that we're born with from original sin that Adam gave us. We owe for the willful sins that we commit throughout our lives. Every lie, every cheat, every theft, everything that we do that does not honor God, we owe for. And you see, when Christ forgives that debt, when God forgives that debt because of Christ's blood being applied to your soul, that debt is gone. And that is the ultimate, ultimate act of forgiveness. So let's look and see what Peter has to say. Peter says, for in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And let's stop right there for just a second. So Peter's setting you up. He's saying, even you, and that means each and every one of you, and that's speaking to us today, just as he was speaking back then, "for you were called." You know, this idea of calling is really important. God calls each of us. He calls each of us to him. And he's going to call each of us to him for judgment. But you see, more importantly than that, God calls each of us to him for restoration of relationship. You see, because God loves you. You are his creation, and you are his child. And it doesn't matter how vile you think you are. It doesn't matter how low you think you sunk. It doesn't matter how bad you think you have been or are. It doesn't matter. Because God wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He chooses you. He calls you and says, "Come to me. Because my son, Jesus Christ, suffered." Peter says, "leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Now, does that mean we all have to die on a cross? If it comes to that, I hope and pray it doesn't. I hope and pray that there's never another person who has to die for believing in Jesus. That's not going to happen, I don't think. I wish it were. But right now as I speak, there are Christians who are being persecuted This will be the time when I remind you of how wonderful we have it to be able to live in a country where no one breaks down our door to see if we have a Bible, or no one says, because you prayed, you're going to go to prison, because you witnessed to someone, because you told someone about Jesus, we're going to execute you. We know that you're a Christian, and Christians are evil because of 1,000 years of conflict, and we're just going to kill you because. We don't go through that. You know, I interviewed Aaron Smith, who's a missionary in Kosovo. Kosovo is a country that is 95% Muslim, and one of the big challenges that he faces each and every day is the fact that only about 20 years ago, a horrible war was fought in that region that pitted Muslims against Christians, and Christians did horrible things. So did Muslims. There's no monopoly on cruelty that man has. And he talked about how difficult it was sometimes to overcome that stereotype, that he says he's a Christian, and immediately those people think of those bad times, those atrocities that were committed. But that is not what being a Christian means. And Aaron is showing them the love of Jesus Christ. Aaron is trying to be an example. He's trying to look at the example of Jesus and mirror that example of love and forgiveness and tolerance to those people. And then Peter in verse 22, where he said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He's doing two things there. One, he's confirming the sinless nature of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was tempted. Jesus could have sinned. That's why he was tempted. He could have sinned. They chose not to. And he is also quoting from Isaiah. And so Peter's providing scriptural reference in his own time to people who would recognize that from Isaiah. So in verse 23, he continues, who, talking about Jesus, this is really critical, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So let's look at verse 23 there. He says, when he reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not. I can't imagine having the power that Jesus Christ had and being able to not use it. Do you understand that Jesus' greatest gift to us was suffering? It was not doing what he could have done at any moment with the merest thought. Jesus could have called down legions of angels. He could have just turned, and every Roman in that place turned to stone. All it would have taken was any thought in his mind, and he would have been back with his Father in heaven. He wouldn't have had to have endured any of this. Yet he did. And he endured it without paying back. You see, that's forgiveness. Forgiveness is letting it go. You know, we want, when someone hurts us or hurts someone that we love, man, we want to go after those people. We want to hit them back. I know particularly for men, you know, that's a big thing. We want to get that payback. We want to get that revenge. We want, and we'll call it justice, or we'll call it whatever it is, whatever we want to in order to satisfy our own minds. That what we're doing is right and what they were doing was wrong, even though we might be doing the same thing. Forgiveness isn't about that. Forgiveness isn't about justice. Thankful every day to the Lord God that he did not treat me justly. Because if God had meted out justice on me, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I would be suffering in a place of darkness and pain and anguish for eternity. But you see, God didn't have, he didn't treat me with justice. God didn't look at me and say, John Guffey, I'm going to get justice on you for the sins you've committed. God looked at me and said, I love you. And he looks at you, each and every one of you who is hearing the sound of my voice. He looks at you and he says, I love you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've said. I don't care how you've hurt others. I don't care how you've hurt me. I don't care what you said about me. I don't care if you've denied me. I don't care if you said I didn't even exist. I don't care if you've taken my name in vain. I don't care. Because I love you. My son died for you. And he did so without paying anybody back. I'm not here. God comes to you and says, I am not here to pay you back for the sins you committed. I'm here to throw my arms around you and love you and make you mine again and to have a relationship with you and to hold you in the middle of the night and to see you grow and to see you prosper and to help you and to heal you. I am not here to punish you. I am not here to exact my revenge on you. I am here to love you. And that's the example that Christ sets for us. The hardest thing it can be is to forgive someone whose heart hurt us or hurt someone that we loved. Down in our hearts, that hurt rests deep. But you see, God wants to help you heal that hurt. And part of healing that hurt can be forgiving that person who did that to you. In verse 24, Peter says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, that are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Peter says, reminds us that Jesus, his own self, bore our sins on the tree, on the cross. So that we, being dead to sin, can live under righteousness. By his stripes, you are healed. And, you know, I love the language here because he uses the past tense. I just use the present tense, you are healed. But Peter said, by his stripes, you were healed, meaning the healing has already taken place. And he does it again in verse 25. He says, you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd. So you were sheep that were lost, but you're already found. And I don't care where you are right now. I don't care where you are in your life. God is right there with you. God is right there with you because you are not lost. You were a sheep gone astray, but not anymore. Because Jesus came and he provided the healing. All you have to do is turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Will you please heal me? Will you please fix me? Will you please help me? I don't know what to do. Because God is there. And God wants to love you. He is hovering near you right now, waiting to throw open his arms, wrap his arms around you, pull you to him and hug you and love on you and heal you. And how can he do that? Because Christ already paid the price. Christ already provided the forgiveness. You're already forgiven All you have to do is accept it. It's as if God is standing there holding a present for you, a gift for you. It's already open. It's already there. All you have to do is take it out of his hand. But that's your piece of it. You see, your piece of it is to say, I'm going to accept this forgiveness. And the devil's going to come along. And here's what he's going to tell you. He's going to say, you are unworthy. You don't deserve forgiveness. God's never going to forgive you of your sins. God's never going to fix you. He's never going to help you. All you have is the moment and the sensations of the moment. So you just need to live fast, die hard, and leave a good-looking corpse. But you see, that's a lie. That is such a lie. Because there is none, you know, the devil, he likes to give us these little half-truths. He's right. We're not worthy. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of God's forgiveness on our own. And God knew that. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for you. Because Jesus was worthy. He was the one who did no sin. And so he suffered in your place. He took the price that you would have had to pay. Your debt is forgiven because of Jesus. He is there, and it's already been done. That's why Peter says, by whose stripes, meaning Jesus's, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Your healing is already accomplished. There is nothing that God needs to do but patch his love into your soul. And the only thing that is keeping that from happening is you not asking. All God wants you to do is turn around and say, I'm sorry. Please come into my heart. Please help me. He's not saying, well, you got to clean up first. And he's not saying, well, you got to overcome your addiction and you have to overcome your sin and you have to make amends for your sin and you have to pay a price. None of that. God doesn't say any of that. God says, come unto me. I love you. I'm here. My son has already paid the price for you. Your debt has been forgiven. Join us next week when we talk on Easter Sunday about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means. Remember, folks, there is nothing that God cannot heal. And there is nothing that you can do to remove yourself from the love of an almighty God. Remember to check out our Facebook and Twitter feeds so that you can see the link to the GoFundMe site, the GoFundMe.com site for FMG Ministries, so you can support us there. We appreciate anything that you can do for us and for that ministry on that website. I want to say thank you to everyone again who has joined us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to check out all of our archived episodes. Until next week, I'm your host, John A. Guffey, with FMG Live on blogtalkradio.com.